5 judges on India's Supreme Court just heard 6 petitions challenging a law that criminalizes homosexual sex, Section 377 of the Indian Penal Code, on the books since the British introduced it in 1861. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata. The Indian government told the court, which began hearings on July 10th, that it would leave it to the judges to decide whether Section 377 violates fundamental rights to life, liberty, and personal security as long as it avoids broader issues like marriage, inheritance, and adoption. Social media and newspapers are abuzz with talk about Section 377, but LGBT life in India has long bypassed the law. Last week, I got a message about Pink Coffee, a gay get-together at a cafe in Kolkata. A few weeks earlier, Varta, a local non-profit, launched an online database of LGBT-friendly therapists, doctors, and legal aid providers in India. This is a very different India from the one I came out in. The first gay Indian I ever met was Siddharth, a lanky young man with charmingly crooked teeth. My senior at school in Kolkata, he had recently returned from university abroad. We met on our old school grounds one evening, talking, smelling the bruised grass of the fields where we played as boys. He told me about escapades in New York and parties in his rooftop apartment in New Delhi where drag queens danced on a moonlit terrace. I listened, wide-eyed at his cosmopolitanism, and nervous about his daring. On the way out, we ran into our old teacher, a priest in a cassock. I flinched as if we had been outed. When I went to study computer science in Southern Illinois in the 1990s, I was pursuing the American dream. My family did not know that embedded in that dream was also the secret promise of a different kind of freedom in the anonymity of a country where no one knew my name. My small Midwestern university town had a gay bar. The first time I saw one of the university professors calmly drinking beer there, I was shocked. I remember standing nervously outside an LGBT students' meeting at the student center, wishing it did not have that paper with LGBT support group 6 to 8 p.m. written so nakedly on it. My diffidence feels out of place in the far more assertive India I returned to in 2011. There are boisterous pride marches and LGBT film festivals. The country has come a long way from 2001, when the petition against Section 377 had to be filed by an AIDS advocacy organization because no queer person was willing to stand up in court and say, "I am gay and this law affects me." India's Supreme Court is playing catch-up in a society that seems to have largely moved on. Though most politicians do not want to touch Section 377, it's viewed by many as a blot on India's idea of itself as a liberal democracy. If once activists looked at Lawrence versus Texas in the U.S. Supreme Court for hope, now they feel the world is looking at India, hoping that the court will do the right thing. If Section 377 falls, there will be celebrations, not just in India, but also in San Francisco, Toronto, and London. But even if the court repeals the law, Indian society still must contend with the deep and insidious stigma of being queer. In June, 2 women, both married to men, flung themselves off a bridge in the western state of Gujarat. They left behind a note saying, "We are leaving the world which will never allow us to be one." These women did not come to LGBT parties in luxury hotels. They found no support groups through smartphone apps. Repealing the law criminalizing homosexual sex will not save young men and women like them overnight, but it is a first and necessary step. Gay life grows stubbornly, like weeds in the cracks, no matter how much a law tries to stamp it out. My friend Siddharth was always arguing against all odds that change was possible. In the first Citizens Report on Homosexuality in 1991, which he co-wrote, he demanded the right to same-sex marriage, which seemed then like asking for the moon. But if Section 377 falls, even that horizon feels within reach. Siddharth will not be there to see it. He died much too young, felled by Hodgkin's disease. But I can still hear him telling me, "Stay in America for your education and your career if you need to. You don't have to stay away because you're gay. Things will change here. Believe me." I didn't quite believe him then. I certainly did not dare to think that one day the Supreme Court of India might be poised to deliver that reassurance, not just for gay millionaires who can party in Delhi and marry in Paris, but also for young men and women in small town India. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW.